Have your Bibles. I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 John. And we'll read from 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And I'd like us to look over to Acts 2, and we'll read from Acts 2. Beginning with the 38th verse, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We trust your blessing upon it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we are living, no doubt, in the closing hours of this age. The things that have been prophesied are coming to pass. One of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ admonished his ministers to do was to be ministering the Word of God. He said that if he came in the midnight hour and he found that servant so doing, he would bless him. And ministry is more than just Wednesday night, two services on Sunday, visit the sick, have a little fellowship, and then you're free to do some other things. Ministry is something that is continual. It's from the time you go to bed at night, even night, you need to pray. The Lord will sanctify your dream life. Until you get up in the morning, until you go to bed again at night. It is a 24-hour job. It's not just a profession that may be assumed. But it is a calling of God. Now, one of the things that has affected us in the last few years has been a new doctrine among us. And I'd like for us to look at this text today. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And there are those that are propagating among us the idea that there is no necessity for anybody to consider a calling to the ministry. Everybody's called. Now I know that Moses prayed the prayer that he prayed that he would that all of God's people were prophets. And we do thank God that the Holy Ghost coming upon an individual may take anybody in the congregation and prophesy through them. When we use the word prophesied, we use the word anoint them to minister. There's a big difference in sermonizing and preaching and being anointed by the Holy Ghost to prophesy. God has called us into certain places for us to occupy until He comes. He has set some in the church, apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. He has set them in the body. And you should know that you've been set in the body. And you should know that you've been set in the church to which you've been called. We had some dear friends to come by. Two preachers came by one day and to try out for the church that we were leaving. Said, we've tried out for two or three already and we're just making our rounds, setting up trials so that we can try out for all the churches that we can, and we're going to see who can get a church first. Now that's a sorry way to enter a church. That's not God's way to enter a church. You should be as certain about that church as you would about your wife. Because you're going to be married to that congregation. You're going to suffer what that congregation suffers. You're going to be blessed with what that congregation is blessed. Because God is going to bless you according to how He blesses the body. And they continued steadfastly. That's the key word for the hour in which we're now living, that we might continue steadfastly. No place to wobble, no place to deviate, no place to fall short, no place to turn aside, no place to listen to something else besides the truth. This is your hour. This is your day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. He wants you to rejoice and to be glad in it and to be victorious in it and to prosper in it. I was driving up. I heard a preacher saying, you know, poverty is a curse. And I said to Sister Anderson, where do you find that in the Bible? Where do you find that in the Bible? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We have all kinds of new doctrines coming on the scene. Friends, you better check them out by the Word of God. What does the Bible say about it? That's one thing that God commended the Bereans for through Paul, was that they searched the Scriptures to see if what he was speaking was the truth or not. It didn't make any difference if he had fire running out of his coattails and he called down all kinds of things from heaven. If it didn't coincide and it couldn't be affirmed and proved of God's word, it was to be rejected. We've had those today who have said, well, you know, we're getting new revelations now. The revelations of the Bible are passé. That's like saying the Lord Jesus Christ is passé. Because he is the Word forever settled in heaven. He is the Word made flesh. He is the inscripturated Word. Oh, hallelujah. He's been conveyed to us by the Spirit for the continuity of the thing that he started on the day of Pentecost. Say, well, they don't do it. They have a lot better program than we have, and they're getting more done. But you can't judge everything that's being done by the crowds. It takes the Holy Ghost to put anybody into the body of Christ. You can have them make all kinds of vocal expressions without them getting into the body of Christ. You can baptize them in water and you can serve them the communion without them getting into the body of Christ. It takes the divine revelation. God's Spirit plunging us into the body of Christ in a supernatural operation. We know that that supernatural operation may be more conscionable, or we may be more conscious of it than others, or others may be more conscious of it than we are. But in the final analysis, we know that the Spirit of God has done a work in our lives, and we know that it is the truth, and that we know that our names are written in heaven. We have that blessed assurance. We had a fellow from Detroit, Michigan to show up in our hall during World War II. And we asked him if he knew the Lord, and he said, well, I've heard the name of Jesus out at the base. They use it as a byword, but really I don't know who he is. I don't know anything about him. We spent some time explaining sin and why we needed a Savior and so on, and we finally got through with the explanation. And I said, John, would you kneel and call upon the Lord to save your soul? He knelt down and he said the words that we told him to say. And I said, do you feel like that the Lord saved you? He said, well, Brother Anderson, you told me he would if I do this. I believe he saved me. And I said to Sister Anderson, you reckon he's saved? And that's the way we are, you know. You know? The next day, John was back for service. We gave him a Bible and he carried his Bible. When they started singing the songs, he didn't know them, but he began to try to learn them. And it wasn't but a few days till you could see a tremendous change in that young man. God was working a work of grace in his life. He had truly, out of his heart, sincerely called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved his soul. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We have quite a number of oneness friends in this district, in this area in Texas. And some of our friends, they're very successful. They're having larger churches in some areas than we have. But because there's a big crowd, it doesn't mean that God says that's true doctrine. And if you want to get something started, just invite anybody into your pulpit to preach, regardless of their doctrine, and it won't be long till you won't have too much. Because this thing is based on sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, doctrine from heaven, doctrine from the heart of God, doctrine from the heart of Jesus Christ. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching or doctrine or instruction. One of the reasons that a lot of you have offerings going out of your church to other operations around over the world, things that you would rather they didn't go to, is because of one saying that has been prevalent among us for years. It doesn't make any difference what church you go to, just so you believe in the Lord. Now, where do you get that in the Bible? It makes a big difference, the crowd that you're associated with, because God's going to judge you by the crowd that you're associated with. If you have the opportunity to be with those who worship God in spirit and in truth and have committed themselves to the Lord and His truth, His eternal word, and you set yourself into a body where they don't believe anything substantial, it won't be long until you won't be believing anything too substantial. You say, well, Brother Anderson, are you shooting at somebody? I'm not shooting at anybody. I'm just preaching God's holy word. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. I can't subscribe to Mary being the mother of God. I have some Catholic friends, but I can't submit to purgatory, the mother of God. She's not the mother of God. She's the mother of the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was God before Mary was ever born. Why should I dilute my doctrines? God said they continued steadfastly. Somebody comes along and says, oh, we don't believe in the rapture. There's just one coming. So, well, they're a big preacher. They're on TV. They must know more about it than our crowd. They're not on TV. That's not logical judgment. That's not proper judgment. What does the Word say about it? What does your heart say about it? What's the Holy Ghost say about it? They continued steadfastly. Oh, hallelujah. That's one thing I've asked the Lord for. Let me wind up at the tape. I'm not talking about the tapes that they're taking. Let me wind up. Let me wind up at the finish, Lord, in sound doctrine, knowing where I'm going, having no desire to be cared about by the winds of doctrine. You know, the winds of doctrine are the spirits of doctrines. We have a wind of doctrine, nearly anybody can tell us. We've got a wind of doctrine that blows off of us. I hope it'll always continue to blow off of us. When you get to the place nobody can tell what you are, you're in bad shape. And that's what happens to those who just embrace everything that comes along. God wants us to be established in His eternal Word, knowing without a shadow of a doubt, this is the doctrine of God. This is His teaching. I believe it. I embrace it. I cling to it until Jesus comes. We couldn't get around all the apostles' doctrines this morning. We couldn't get around all the false doctrines. A lot of false doctrines going out at this hour. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now this is where we get down to where we live. Fellowship. I want to tell you, friends, that's what this is all about. God is building a great big fellowship for all eternity. If we can't fellowship down here, what in the world are we going to do forever out yonder? You know what causes a lot of fellowship to go awry? Pride, P-R-I-D-E. We feel that we're superior to that operation, or we feel that we're in fear and they feel superior. Contention cometh with pride. That's what the Word of God says, doesn't it? Differences come because of pride. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life, for the life was manifested. Thank God for this manifested life. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. What are we preaching this for? That we might increase the fellowship. That we might increase. And Paul says in Ephesians that this body edifieth itself in love. That's the only way it's going to be increased. It's a love operation. Anything that doesn't come under the bounds of love is going to have to stand the test of God's fire in the day of judging of men's works. You will have to confront the purpose, the motivation for your building, the congregation that you're building. Why I'm in this? I'm going to get me another church. There's more money and more people over there. Now that's the wrong motive. That's a carnal motive. The Lord said we're to plow in hope. We're to reap in hope. We're not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Some of you don't look like oxen. But that's what he was talking about. He was talking about those who labored in the gospel. God intended for them to be supported and supplied and to have sufficiency in all things. He said, we declare this word unto you that you might have fellowship with us. Oh, hallelujah. One of the biggest things about these councils is the fellowship. It is the biggest thing. It's not the matter of the business that we do. It's not the matter of our sitting here and voting yes or no, or aye and no. It's the matter of us getting together in that sweet relationship and fellowshipping one another in the Holy Ghost. That's what God's interested in. That's the reason I like to have big rotundas in the council meeting places, so that the people can buzz like a beehive back there in the rotunda. If there's no other sound like it, there's no other group on earth that has the fellowship that we have. There's no other. The business world doesn't buzz like that. It has an overtone and an undertone, a blessing to it that you cannot describe. It's the blessing of the Almighty God, the Holy Ghost. He wants to work in this fellowship. Oh, hallelujah. Then he said, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Is that where your fellowship is today, friends? That's life eternal. This is life eternal. When we have fellowship with Him. Oh, you get away. You get away from the church for just a little while. Go to some area where you can't be in service, where you can't have fellowship. And something begins to gnaw on your soul. So I wish I could be somewhere and hear some songs and get some worship and have some fellowship. And I wish that I could be somewhere where the Spirit of God would use me to bless somebody else. This is what he's talking about. Sharing one with another, being partakers of the same hope and the same blessings and the same Word of God. Then he says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And friends, there's nothing else to take the place of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you lose your joy, there's not much you can say. You get a hangdog expression on your face. And people can tell it. The world can tell it. But oh, when you have the joy of the Lord beaming through. I'll never forget the young lady with whom she was in our church, and she was doing my secretarial work, and she and her husband left us, and they were going somewhere else, and she had to get a job. And she said to me, Brother Anderson, I didn't have the provisions for that job. I wasn't equipped for that job. I didn't have the training for that job. But when I walked in, that man said to me, he said, it doesn't make any difference whether you qualify or not. There's something about your presence, something that shines through your face that makes me to want to hire you regardless of these who've come in. What was it? It was that joy of the Holy Ghost, that deep-seated blessing of the Spirit of God. And if you've lost your joy, friends, there's a way to get it back. There's a way to go back and find the joy of the Holy Ghost and go out of this council with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah! He said, if we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And when I don't have fellowship with somebody that I know is a Christian, I begin to search my own heart to say, well, is there something wrong with me that I'm not having fellowship with them? And if I know that I'm prayed up and everything's all right, there's nothing wrong with me, then I know there's something wrong with them. Fellowship. Brethren, I love the fellowship. I need the fellowship. It did something to me this morning to go to that ladies' meeting. And when we broke bread, we took a piece of their bread. They took a piece of ours. And we told them we love one another. It was a sweetness that came out of that Bless my soul. Oh, thank God for God's ladies. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. Now this can be, in this case, it can be either translated relative to the communion or to the common meal. Breaking of bread was something that when the Lord Jesus Christ did it, it had a special significance. Whether it was at the common table, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or supper, as you might call it. Whatever time, when Jesus broke bread, there was something so sacred about it, and something so impressive about it, that even those disciples who did not recognize him after his resurrection on the way to Emmaus, when they sat down to eat with him and he broke bread, immediately they knew that this was the Lord. Oh, friends, this fellowship goes into the bread breaking. We are all one loaf. We're all one body. We're members one of another. When one member suffers, the whole body suffers. We've all fed upon the same bread. I am the bread of life, he says. He that eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is resurrection fellowship that we're involved in. This breaking of bread is a reminder of the strength and sustenance, the spiritual and physical support of the Almighty God, the provision that he's made for us, body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. And then he says, they continued steadfastly in prayers. Oh, oh, Lord, help us to never, never get away from the prayer line, the Holy Ghost chain, the bell rope from here to heaven. Help us to always be wanting to ring the bell in heaven with our prayers, calling upon the name of the Lord in the Spirit, getting lost in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, keeping ourselves in the love of God, giving ourselves in the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, praying, praying, praying. Not just a runaway prayer, Lord, I've got to go. Help me now as I go. You know, I was praying that way one day. I said, I've got these schedules. I have to go. I don't have time to give to the Lord like I usually do. And then I said, Lord, I'm not going to ask you just to help me with my program. That'd be selfish. I want you to help me to get in on your program. And I want you to help me to schedule my time to where you're my priority. I want you to be first, Lord. That's the way I want to pray. When I came over here today, I said, Lord, I'm not asking you to give me a message so that I might be an outstanding preacher over there, or that I might have people to shout or respond to me. But Lord, exalt your word and magnify your name. That's all that really counts. God loves you. God loves this congregation. God loves these representatives of the North Texas District. God loves you with an eternal love. And he has a place for you. He has a place where you'll know that you know that you know. He wants you to have that blessed assurance. He wants you to be strong in these last days. A rock in a weary land. A shadow sheltering from the storm. God loves you this morning. And God is more interested in you than you realize or ever will realize. within yourself. I'd like for us to bow our heads.